Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
So this past May, I bet there was a big celebration at the admissions office at Cornell University. That's because on May 5th, Dennis Barnes announced that's where he would be going to school. And if you're wondering what sport he plays, he doesn't. He's not an athlete. He's just a regular guy who did really well in school. Actually, I take that back. He did really well in school, but he's not just a regular guy. You see, Dennis Barnes graduated from International High School in New Orleans at the age of 16. Okay, that's impressive. What's even more impressive is that he did it with a 4.98 GPA. What? How in the world do you graduate with an almost 5.0 GPA? Clearly, this guy aced a bunch of advanced classes. So here we have this young academic wonderkid. But that's not all. Not only is Barnes incredibly smart, when he started applying for colleges, he was accepted at 185 of them. He received more than $10 million in scholarship offers. That feat has landed him in the Guinness Book of World Records. So given that this academic superstar was coveted by all these different schools, it was a big deal when he finally made his decision. So on May 5th, he announced that he would attend Cornell, because he saw it as the best Ivy League school for engineering. He said that he plans to major in computer science and then move on to software development. So, like I said, I bet there was a big old celebration in the admissions office when he said he'd go there, because these are the kind of students colleges want, right? Every college wants the best of the best. They want to know that the education they are providing will lead to incredibly successful people. For example, just think about who has come out of Cornell already. Their alumni include 25 recipients of the National Medal of Science and National Medal of Technology and Innovation combined, 38 MacArthur Fellows, 34 Marshall Scholars, 31 Rhodes Scholars, 249 elected members of the National Academy of Sciences, 201 elected members of the National Academy of Engineering, over 190 heads of higher learning institutions in the U.S. and around the world, 21 Nobel laureates, over 128 governmental leaders, 81 notable judges and lawyers, 52 business CEOs, and it's the only school in the world with 3 female winners of unshared Nobel Prizes among its graduates. Wow. Okay, granted, not every student who graduates from Cornell is going to be one of these high-achieving people. But it wouldn't be a surprise if Dennis Barnes becomes one of them. Right, you can kind of think of it like a garden. Right, Barnes would be great soil for the people at Cornell to plant their seeds. I mean, given his record so far, chances are pretty good he's going to produce some amazing fruit later on. And if you want a seed to grow, then you start with the best conditions possible. But even though that's what success looks like in our world, that's not what it looks like to Jesus. Today, we hear that famous parable of the sower. And even though many of us are already familiar with this story, there's something shocking about it that we often don't notice. This sower here is pretty stupid. Right, here he has all of this seed, and he wants it to grow. But instead of making sure that the soil is just right and digging holes and having a watering schedule and all that good stuff, instead of starting off with the best conditions possible, he just throws the seed all over the place and hopes for the best. How in the world is that supposed to produce fruit? I mean, if colleges just accepted everybody who applied, how in the world would they get successful alumni? That's not how it works. In fact, as we read on in the parable, in most cases, this seed didn't produce fruit. The seed that fell on the path was eaten up by the birds. The seed that fell on the rocky soil didn't establish any roots. And the seed that fell among the thorns was choked out by them. This sower seems to be wasting his precious seed. If he really wanted it to grow, he would carefully plant it and tend to it. He would want to start off with good conditions, like Dennis Barnes. He wouldn't just cast it willy-nilly all over the place. Right? If you're a gardener, you know this. Right? You know how you try to make things grow. Just casting the seed all over the place is not how you do it. But this is Jesus we're talking about. We like to focus on what gets produced. We focus on widgets. We ask people, what did you do today? As if their value is based upon what they did or what they made. Jesus, though, is more focused on casting out the seed. Look at the parable again. Even though this sower seems really stupid, he is also incredibly brilliant. Right? This is where the parable blows our minds. This sower doesn't discriminate between the types of soil, as if one type of soil is more worthy of his precious seed than another. He just throws it out there. He gives it to all. And notice that the sower has absolutely no control over what happens to the seed once he throws it. He can't make different types of soil produce fruit. That's beyond his power. All he can do is just put it out there. Think of it this way. Sometimes we like to talk about planting seeds in people. Right? Parents do it for kids. Teachers do it for students. Right? Whatever the relationship is. We know the experience of trying to plant little seeds of something in someone and hoping that it'll grow. Now, why do we do that when we have absolutely no control over whether it'll produce anything or not? Why do we bother to share God's love with people when we don't know if it'll change their lives or not? Why do we do this life of discipleship when we have no guarantee that it'll turn into anything? We do it because we know that the seed is still good. That's the incredible thing with this parable. Right? It's not about the fruit that gets produced or doesn't get produced. It's about the fact that this seed is so good and so important that it doesn't matter where it lands. The more places it goes, the better. And in the end, it does grow. Yes, it doesn't grow everywhere, but when it does, look out. Consider it like this. Instead of seeing it like colleges that try to compete to get the best of the best, think of it more like a local city's public school. In that school, teachers have a wide variety of students. They have the 4.0 students and the failing students and everybody in between. They have the popular kids and the unpopular kids. They have athletes and mathletes. They have students who might become successful in the world's eyes and those who will never graduate high school. And yet in that classroom, the teacher teaches the same thing to all of those students. Why? Because it's important for all of them. There is no discrimination here. And even if those students don't go on to become Nobel Prize winners or Rhodes Scholars, the teachers have still been successful because they did their job. They cast out the seed. Some of those students may forget what the teacher taught them, or maybe even forget the teacher's name. But sometimes, that teacher has such a profound impact on the lives of those students. That teacher could very well change some student's life and not even know about it. All because of seed that was shared. It's the same thing when we share God's love. We have absolutely no control over how people will react to it. We don't know if they'll remember what we said or what we did or even who we are. We can't make people produce fruit from a life of faith. That's up to the Holy Spirit. And maybe in your life, you already know this struggle. Maybe you already know the experience of trying to help somebody grow in faith, but then it fell flat. That person wanted nothing to do with all of this religious stuff. So you might have felt like giving up because it seemed like a lost cause. Right? Why bother? Right? Has that ever happened to you? But guess what, though? It is not a lost cause. The seed is still good. And we know it. And that seed does produce fruit. You just can't control when or how that happens. In the way the world works, it's all about producing the best fruit or the best people or the best widgets or whatever. But when Jesus turns the world right side up, it's all about sharing God's love with as many people as possible. I mean, you have no idea what kind of ground lives in the people around you. I mean, honestly, you can't tell if somebody is rocky soil, or the path, or good soil, or whatever. And maybe they change from one to another, right? Who knows? Maybe you've changed too. Look back at your life I bet you've changed throughout the years. I bet you've become more receptive to God's work in your life. It's the same thing with other people. So, like that foolish-looking sower, we share God's love anyway, too. We cast out that seed no matter what, because that's the part that's under our control. So yes, Dennis Barnes is an academic superstar. But you don't have to be an academic superstar to change the world. You can just be you. The weird, quirky, incredible, beautiful, flawed, sinful, forgiven, holy people that you are. People who pass the seed of God's love out to others. Why? Because the seed is good. It makes a difference. And it's worth spreading all over the place. And in Jesus' eyes, that's success. So in the name of this one whose love we share, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.